Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger, and so glad to be able to come to you with another broadcast time together. You tuned me in by the way of WDLP 93.1 Belding at 7 o'clock, and we stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.FM. You tuned me in by the way of Ionia, WION 1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. Over in the low Ader area at 100.3 FM, I welcome you to our broadcast time this morning. Others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And I need to send a big thank you to Jim Aaron. He had me in on Tuesday to celebrate 43 years I've been on the Greenville station, working on number 44 this morning, and I'm so special, and it was good that he was so special that he had me to come in, and I enjoyed every minute of it, and he made it live on Facebook, and I put it on my site, on my Facebook site, and it went to over 500 people, so that's pretty special to me. So thank you a lot, Jim Aaron. Others have tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. And some of you are listening by way of my website, and my website is PastorKenHarger.com. And you go to Messages from the Lighthouse, just bring your scroll up on that, and or your mouse up on that, rather, and it'll show you current messages. Slide on down to current messages, and you'll see the message for today. Whatever way you've tuned me in, I'm so glad that you're a part of my broadcast time together this morning. I'm over here at the lighthouse. We don't have any ice yet, but about half the lake is nice and clear, and the other half across the other side has got some waves in it. So we're enjoying this morning. I have my heater on, my furnace. I have a furnace in the basement. I mean, in the first floor of the lighthouse, and I have that on, and a lot of friendly flies have kind of come alive, and so I guess I'll be joining you, and they'll be joining us, okay? Well, thank you to the sponsors that take care of the financial part of the broadcast I need to do next, and I'd like to thank Bill and Judy Hammond from the Belding area, Doug and Noreen Lane from the Sheridan area, Gloria Spencer from the Greenville area, in honor of her husband, in memory of him. His nickname was Spence. And then Gay London, in memory and honor of her husband, Dave. She's from the Greenville area. And Maria Vard, in memory and honor of her husband, Fran, from Dayton, Tennessee. Now I got to slow it down a little bit. You know, folks, I got over here, and I didn't have my glasses, so I had to go back up the hill again with my quad and pick up my glasses. I was really mad at myself a little bit. You know, when you get older, you better learn how to laugh at yourself, because I cleaned them all off, and I made them nice and clean for this morning. Then I laid my glasses on the little table I have there, and I forgot to pick them up. Well, I need to give you an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church. I pastored there 50 years, still attend there, been retired 11. We're in search of a new pastor, and right now at the Shiloh campus, we have Jim Lacey, who used to be in Greenville for a number of years. He's now our intern pastor until we get our new pastor. So at Shiloh, the services begin Saturday evening, 6:30, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock. Then there's a contemporary service at 10:45. And in our Greenville campus at the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and Luray Street, it's Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Whatever you would like to come to any one of those services, we'd be so pleased. And some of you don't know Jim Lacey, come and give him a little visit as well. And that would be very special. My message for this morning, what could have been? Have you ever said that? I wonder what could have been. Or another idea that I want to cover this morning, I'm putting these two together. Why do you cheat yourself? Why would you turn around and cheat yourself? Why would you do that? Why would people do that? So what could have been, can I say, if we hadn't cheated ourselves? This message I'm glad to be able to share with you, and as I share it with you, it's been a blessing on the Facebook this week throughout the devotion time. Been some good responses to it, and I appreciate that. And so now I put it together for the radio broadcast, okay? We're going to begin with a song. It's called Bethlehem. And Bethlehem was in mourning when Jesus was born, because you remember the King Herod, he had a lot of babies killed, thinking he could kill the Lord Jesus. And you know, there's two cities that was there in the biblical times that I love, that Jesus was acquainted with. And one of them was Bethlehem. It said that Bethlehem was just a small little town, and yet out of you is going to come the governor, the one that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And then Jerusalem was a religious city. It was a big city. It was an important city. And religious city of Jerusalem kind of was a thorn in Jesus' flesh. They wouldn't respond to his message. Bethlehem is on the other side, tells us that this is something very special. And we're going to talk and allow Jerusalem in the Bible times to be our teacher today. And that's pretty special. So let's get ready to hear this song. It may be a little different to do at this time of the year, but Christmas is just around the corner, you know. It's not very long, and then we'll be celebrating Christmas on our radio broadcast time together. This message of song is entitled The Idea of Bethlehem is in Mourning, Going Through a Difficult Time at the Birth of the Lord Jesus. Let's listen in. I'll be right back.
Lift up your heads, no need to mourn. His hand is stretched out still. For unto us a child is born, his promise to fulfill. His spirit never dies. the child that was born there has come to set us free. The child that was born is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See him in the eastern sky.
Well, I appreciate that song. It's just didn't come across as I thought it was going to do for us this morning. But the main thing of the song is the idea that Bethlehem was just a strange little small town, and out of that was born the Lord Jesus. And then Jerusalem, the religious city, didn't respond to the Lord Jesus. It said twice, as we'll get a hold of in just a moment, that Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem. Well, I'm glad you joined me this morning, but I want to remember the listening audience in prayer that God's special blessing would be upon them and he would meet their needs according to his divine and holy will. You know what, listening audience, you're my congregation this morning. You're the ones I'm thinking of when I put the message together. You're the ones that I'm thinking of as I sit here at the lighthouse and share this message. I'm thinking about those of you that's listening in at this moment, that God's blessing would be upon you and whatever you're going through in your life. So let's just have a moment of prayer. Dear Father, I come to you once again in behalf of the listening audience and ask your special blessing to rest upon them and to minister to them according to your divine and holy will. Father, I don't know what the week's been like for the listening audience. I know my week has been busy and some tough things that I had to go through this week and some things that I wish I didn't have to go through, as each of us realize that that's the way life is. I like the idea that you're there all the time for us, and you're good to each one of us. And so, Father, I want to pray for those that's had trouble this week physically. You minister to them and meet their need according to your will. I want to pray for those that's been just a special week, just been some special blessings, some things that we can kind of say hallelujah to. God has been good to us, and I pray that you would receive of our thanks for the good things. But for those that's gone through financial difficulty this week, maybe something just broke down and they don't have enough money to take care of whatever it is, others that may be going through some family difficulty where there seems to be somebody sideways with somebody else, and that happens in every family. We just pray for the family situations. Pray for those that may have lost a loved one. Did some funerals this week, so I pray for those that's lost a loved one that you might continue to comfort. Maybe this is the anniversary of when that loved one passed away, and this period of week has been a very difficult week as they reflect upon a year ago when they laid their loved one to rest. Whatever it is, Father, for the listening audience, I just pray that you would minister to them and meet their need. And I pray, if it pleases you, Father, you would use this message to be a source of comfort and strength to them. And I'll thank you and I'll praise you for that in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, I've been excited about this message because I like the idea of using different things in the Bible as teaching tools. And sometimes I teach from people's lives of the days gone by, as we study about Abraham or Joseph or Isaac, whoever it is. But this morning, in our message today, we're going to use the idea of learning some lessons from a city called Jerusalem. It was the religious center of Jesus' day. And this week, as we think about hindsight, you know, hindsight's 2020. What could have been? What could have been for this nation if they would have responded so, this city rather, if they would have responded so differently? And you know what God's told us to do is we're to walk in faith, not by sight. And we'll try to tie these two together, is this idea of walking by faith. And by the way, when we don't walk by faith, the second part of the message becomes involved in our life. We cheat ourselves by not claiming the promise of God. We cheat ourselves by not receiving the blessing that God had for us. You know, it'd be pretty sad in our life if, as we was to look back and see, you know, if I just would have done this or just would have done that, and that's really what I believe God was leading me to do, but I was disobedient. And that's where the nation, the city of Jerusalem comes in. I want to say nation. It was just a city. The city of Jerusalem comes in. When I was using, what I'd like to use for a foundation for this message is Jerusalem was the religious center of the world. That's where all the religious authority was in the time of Jesus' ministry on planet Earth. And you know, the 10th century B.C., the King David conquered Jerusalem from the Jebusites, a Canaanite tribe who had inherited the city and reigned. And at that time, it was known as Jabez. David established the capital of the kingdom of Israel there. And from that time on, it was known as the City of David. And King Solomon, his son, built the first temple, also known as Solomon's Temple. And he enlarged the city. With this in mind, I want us to think about the first time the Lord Jesus visited the city of Jerusalem, and the first time he was in the temple at 12 years old, and he was listening and teaching the people that were the religious leaders. That's how he got introduced to this at 12 years old. Let me just read it for you. I love the way this story is told in the scripture. Every year, Jesus' parents would go to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. That's what they always did to celebrate. When he was 12, now he'd been there before, but when he was 12 years old, they went as usual. When the festival was over, they left for home. The boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents didn't know it. And they thought that he was with others within the family unit traveling. They took care of each other like that, you know. After traveling for a day, they started to look for Jesus among their relatives and friends. And when he didn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem. Now think about this. They went back to Jerusalem to look for him. They traveled a day journey out. That means it's going to be a day's journey back to Jerusalem. Now, Jesus has been gone for some time. They went back. 3 days later, they found him in the temple courtyard. He wasn't actually in the temple. He was in the courtyard. He was sitting amongst the teachers, and he was listening to them. And he was asking them questions. His understanding and his answers stunned everyone who heard him. Now, these were the religious leaders of that day. And Jesus was only 12 years old. When all of a sudden his parents came into there, and when his parents saw him, they were shocked. His mother asked him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been worried sick looking for you." Jesus said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you realize that I had to be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what he meant. You know what it says after that, and I'm so glad it says after that. Jesus wasn't being critical. Jesus was just knowing that this is the start of the time when the Father, the Heavenly Father, was going to put his stamp of approval upon his ministry. And Jesus, it says, what the next statements of verses said, that Jesus went home and he was in obedience to his parents. He wasn't just a disobedient child. He was just introduced to being the ministry that he was going to do. He had his first exposure to religious leaders of his day. And I got to tell you, these religious leaders were dumbfounded about what he was saying and his understanding that he had at only 12 years old. But I'm here to tell you this morning that they're going to be a thorn in his side. They're going to cause difficulty to be a part of that part of their life as an individual. So we want to learn from this city of Jerusalem and see they were visited very early, And yet they didn't respond too quickly to the message that Jesus had. Well, what could have been? Or why would this city cheat itself from the relationship with Jesus? I think there's a good lesson here for us. In the lesson for today, we'll see that Jesus' desire for the people was he wanted to be a comfort and a protector for them. But they would not let him. There are two times mentioned in the scriptures where Jesus mentions this about the city of Jerusalem. The first time was when Jesus was in Jerusalem and he was told to leave. And Jesus gave a warning to the people that they would not see him until sometime later. Now listen what he said. O Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets, the city that stones those who are sent to it. Now listen to this, folks, and we got to get the feeling for it. How often would I have gathered you children together as a hen gathers her brood under his wings, and ye would not, you would not come. Behold, I say to you, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will see not me, and you will not see me again until you say something like this: blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. That's the first time this message is given forth. Jesus is saying, how often would I have gathered you as a mother hen? In my Facebook devotions, I put a mother hen showing her gathering all of her chicks together under her wings for safety and security when there was danger. The second time that this verse is used is on Palm Sunday, when Jesus drew up near to the city, and he was about ready to go into the city. And when he drew close to the city, he wept over it, saying, would that you would even you had known this day the things that would make you for peace. For now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemy will set a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear down to the ground you and your children within you. And they will leave not one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of visitation. You see, Jesus had came there earlier. That was his introduction. That should have been the introduction to the religious leaders to Jesus. But they forgot all about that. And you know, Jesus is outside of that city, and one of the scriptures says he does the same thing. O Jerusalem. How many times would I have gathered you, and you would not like a mother hen? You wouldn't come. You wouldn't listen. The lesson we need to learn is that Jesus had a lot of times to do for us, a lot of things he wants to do for us, but if we're not willing to let him do, if we're not willing to let him be the blessing he wants to be in our life, and I love the way the simplicity, the way that Jesus explains himself. How often would I gathered you as a mother hen does her chicks? I'd given you safety. I would have given you protection. But you would not. And so he weeps over the city, what they had missed. He weeps over the city, what they had cheated themselves out of. The promise would have been special. You know, God wants us to respond to him in the messages that he gives to us, to receive his protection. Listen to what it says in Psalm 91:4. Jesus wants us to respond because this is his call. He says, come under our wings, a place of refuge. Jesus wants to be to you today, and Jesus wants to be to me today, a place of refuge. But you got to be willing. You got to be willing to respond to that call and receive what he has for you. What could have been, and why did they cheat themselves? I just want us to think of the thought of cheating yourself in view of Jesus sharing, how often would have I gathered you and you wouldn't do it? You wouldn't come. In the picture that I showed on my Facebook, there was one little chick that was kind of holding back. And, you know, they wasn't drawing near. You know what God tells us in his word? He says, you draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. I believe you take one step towards God, he'll take two steps towards you. But these people wouldn't do it. They wouldn't respond. They drawed back from him. That little chick drawed back from the mother. And I think the mother's just clucking at us, saying, come on, get under here. Come on, get under here. This is your place of safety. I think we need to realize these people were not aware as they held back from responding to Jesus all the things that they were going to miss in their individual lives. There's a time when God is sharing these things and it says, the time will come when the enemy, he said, will build walls around you. And he said, one of these days, there's going to be some people come in and take over the city of Jerusalem and take over the beautiful temple. And he said, there's not going to be one stone left upon another stone. That's recorded for us in Luke 19. You know, history tells us that about 40 years after Jesus had died and was buried and rose again, that happened to that city. They were cheated of the blessings of Christ. The little town of Bethlehem received not more than the city of Jerusalem did because of the birth of Jesus. And Jesus was there at 12 years old in the city of Jerusalem, and that was his introduction to who he was going to be. And yet, they didn't respond to him. I came across this story, and it's supposed to be true, and so I just want to share it with you. A mother hen sacrifices her life to protect chicks during a fire. Yellowstone National Park, an article in National Geographic, several years ago, provided a beautiful picture of God's wings. After a forest fire in Yellowstone National Park, the United States Forest Rangers began their trek up through the mountain to assess the damage. One ranger found a bird, literally just nothing but ashes because of the infernal flame. And he all of a sudden he took his foot and he kicked it aside. And then when he went to kick it aside, he was quite sick, thinking that's a bird. He kicked it aside. And out of underneath that mother hen, or that mother bird, came three little chicks. The loving mother was aware of the disaster, and she carried her offspring to the base of a tree and had gathered them under her wings. And there she died, protecting her children. You know what? God's reminding us. That's the nature of God's creation. But much greater than that, that's the nature of God. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I found another picture that I used on Facebook. There was a terrible rainstorm taking place somewhere, and this mother hen was found. She was seen along the highway. The rain was there, so coming down so heavy, and she gathered all of her chicks under her wings. And there you could see the feet of all those little chicks being protected from the rain. Do you realize this thing about Jesus? It's not hard to understand. He cares for you, and he cares for me. And he wants us to be safe under his wings. And that's why he's inviting us to come. But I got to tell you, folks, before we listen to a song, Jesus invited the city of Jerusalem to come, and they refused. The end result was that some years later, that whole city was destroyed. It's been rebuilt now, but that whole city was destroyed. You know something, folks? He said there wasn't one rock left upon another. And I read recently somewhere, and I can't know if it's true or not, but they said the reason that was is that temple had gold in between each rock. And then when they were sieged by the Roman government, that city was tore down and that gold was all confiscated. I don't know if that's true or not. But you know what I do know? I do know that the Lord Jesus, the master of eternity, the master of all religion, because he tells us that religion is a relationship with him. And the city of Jerusalem refused that relationship. I'm so glad that KN picked out this song that I'm going to play next, because it's been one of my favorite songs since I heard it, because it's talking about a violin. You know, sometimes objects teach us lessons. It's talking about a violin that was being sold at an auction. I'm not going to tell you any more, but just for you to realize that this is showing us the master's touch. And when we listen to this song, and as we do, I just want it to be a blessing in your life to know that the master's touch on your life will make a lot of difference. The blessings that can be yours if we only respond in obedience. Let's listen in.
Was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer felt it was hardly worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. He said, "It sure ain't much, but it's all we've got left. I guess we ought to sell it too." Oh, now who'll start the bid on this old violin? Just one more and we'll be through. And then he cried, "One, give me $1, who'll make it two? Only $2, who'll make it three? $3 twice, now that's a good price. Who's gonna bid for me? Raise up your hand now, don't wait any longer. The auction's about to end. Who's got for just $1 more to bid on this old violin?" Well, the air was hot, and the people stood around as the sun was setting low. And from the back of the crowd, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. He wiped the dust from the old violin and he tightened up the strings. And then he played out a melody pure and than the angels sing. And then the music stopped, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, he said, "Now what am I bid for this old violin?" And he held it up with a bow. $3,000 twice, you know that's a good price. Come on, who's gonna bid for me? And the people cried out, "What made the change? We don't understand." Then the auctioneer stopped and he said with a smile, "It was the touch of the master's hand." You know there's many a man with his life out of tune, battered and scarred with sin, and he's auctioned cheap to a thankless world, much like that old violin. But then the master comes, and the old foolish crowd, they never understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought just by one touch of the Master's hand. Oh, then he cried out, one, give me 1,000, who'll make it two? Only 2,000, who'll make it three? 3,000 twice, you know that's a good price. Come on, who's gonna bid for me? And the people cried out, what made the change? We don't understand. Then the auctioneer stopped and he said with a smile, it was the time. The Master's hand.
Why would we want to refuse the touch of the Master's hand? Why would we want to refuse, as the city of Jerusalem did? Why would we want to cheat ourselves of the touch of the Master's hand? You know, you and I have been wounded in life. We've had things that's been difficult for us to understand. And some people even blame God for it. I'm sure there could have been people that blame God for what happened to the city of Jerusalem when it was destroyed. But you know what we need to realize? When we do not respond to the touch of the Master's hand, we miss the things that come from the touch of the Master's hand. That violin was only worth $4, $5, $6, and then it was worth thousands of dollars because somebody picked it up and showed what it was capable of doing. You know, in your life, in my life, we can't imagine what God wants to do for each one of us. So we have to come back to that question. Why should we cheat ourselves? Why would he do that? And one of the things I believe is that we need to get a little more a handle on the idea that when we trust this one Jesus as our personal Savior, we become in a relationship with God that's totally different than we ever had. I believe sometimes in the Bible he calls it, you have favor with God. Isn't it nice to have favor with certain people? We need to realize that's something that is pretty special. And I love it that when God was wanting his son to be born, the Lord Jesus, he come to Mary and he said to her, you have found favor with God. I love it when the Lord Jesus was born, it says he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. In Luke 2:52. But you know what? This is really God's promise. If we come in simplicity to the Lord Jesus, if we realize that the Master's touch can be yours in your life. Listen to this thing from the book of Proverbs. My son, do not forget my teachings, but let your heart keep my commandments for length of days and years of life and peace that will be added to you. Let not steadfastness or love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Now listen to what he says. If you be disobedient to responding to God's word, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. God says, you know what? We need the favor of God upon our life. I'm so glad I responded when I was 18 to the Lord Jesus' call upon my life. And then when I was about 19, I'm so glad that I responded to Jesus' call upon my life to be a pastor. I had every reason to think that'll never work. I couldn't talk plain and all that kind of stuff that I was dealing with in my life. And yet at the same time, God said, you know what? If you obey my word, if you do the things that I tell you and you hang on to steadfast love and faithfulness, you will find favor. You will find favor in the sight of God and in man. The favor is a part of our life walking in this obedience to the Lord Jesus. I believe that same offer was given to the city of Jerusalem. And I believe God shows that when Jesus wept and cried out, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, why do you kill all the prophets and stone those who the Father has sent?" You see, it wasn't just something that they did one time. It was something that became a part of their religious life. Can you think about that? Out of the name of religion, when God would send a prophet and the prophet would say, "You're not doing it right," or whatever, they would kill the prophet. God sends somebody to be a help to them, they would kill that person. I believe the love of Jesus is expressed so powerful when you hear him say, "Jerusalem that kills the prophet." I think that's so important for us to realize that even though he knew that, he was reaching out to them with that great compassion and that great love. I believe one day Jesus spoke a parable, and I just give you this parable, and it helps to illustrate this. Jesus did this before he was speaking these things. A man planted a vineyard, and he put a fence around it, and he dug a big pit for a wine press, and he built a tower. And he leased it to some tenants, and then he went to another country. When the season came to send a servant to the tenants to get his share of the fruit of the vineyard, they took him, and they beat him, and they sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent them another servant, and they struck him on the head and treated him very shameful. And again, he sent another servant, and they killed him. And so many others, some of that they beat and some that they killed. He had still one other, a beloved son, his only son. And finally, he sent him to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But those tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and then the inheritance will be ours." And they took him, and they killed him, and they threw him out of the vineyard. They were not interested in the favor of the tenant owner, the one that owned the vineyard. Just ask a question. What shall we do? What shall that tenant owner do to all of those that treated his son in that way? But listen to a verse in Proverbs. But whosoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. That's in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 35. That's what God's offering to each one of us. He's offering that to us. And you know, Jesus told that story, and yet he knows that's the way they treated all the past prophets and so on, that Jerusalem did, the religious city did. And yet he wants to gather them like a mother hen would gather their chicks. There's one more thought I want to share with you before we close this morning. And that thought is the idea that, well, what would have happened if they would have responded differently? I believe there's a good lesson in this for us in our day, in our individual life, in our individual relationship with God. If we always respond the same way and causes us to cheat ourselves, you know what God said to us through his son, the Lord Jesus? He said, "You know what I want you to do is I want you to realize that you can pray." And when Jesus taught us to pray, it's called the Lord's Prayer. It's when the disciples came to him and said, "Lord, would you teach us to pray?" When Jesus was teaching them to pray, he did. Remember how he said it? "Give us this day our daily bread." You know what? God wanted to have a daily relationship with the city of Jerusalem, but they did not want it. They refused it. God wants to have a daily relationship with each and every one of us. And you know, God came to them so many different times in their life of the nation, of the city of Jerusalem. I've been on nation all morning, but the city of Jerusalem, God came to him so many times. You know, I was thinking about that the other day as I was preparing this message. And I was thinking, you know, when you think back over your life, you know what? Your life has had many seasons. There's many seasons to life. I said for many years, life changes every 10 years. You know, I like to explain it this way. There's a lot of difference between being 1 and 10. You know, there's a lot of difference between being 10 and 20. There's a lot of difference between being 20 and 30. And man, then all of a sudden, 30 in the big 4-0. And then 10 more in the big 5-0. Now you're thinking about retirement, and then 10 more to the big 6-0. Can I tell you, those seasons of life has just been that way for me. And you know, in each season of life, you have different needs. You have different responsibilities. When you think of being 1, that's, you don't have much responsibility. Think of being 10, now you got to know how to tie your shoes and everything else, you know. Now you're doing a lot of things. And you know, when you think of the different seasons of your life, seasons when you had children and the responsibility of raising those children, seasons of life as they headed off to college. Talking to somebody the other day, and they said they was in the season of life that now they're an empty nest. They had children soon after they were married, and now the oldest one just went off to college, and the house is empty. Some of you in those kind of situations. You know, those different seasons of life, our need for God and our need for the things of the blessings of his life is totally different. You know, you have seasons in life where it's healthy, and then you have seasons in life where it's sick, sickness. Can I be upfront and honest with you this morning? Can I tell you, I'm 84, and the difference between the 10 years of being 74 and 84 is tremendously different. And we realize, hey, we're getting closer to our time on earth being finished. But we need to realize that we need God differently at 84 than I did when I trusted him at 18. I need God differently when I was raising my family than I need him now. I need him differently when the nest became empty than I need him now. You know, I just shared at a funeral the other day again, and I like doing this at funerals. You know what? The older you get, dear people, you will need a lot less things. When we're young, we need a lot of things. But the older you get, you will need a lot less things. But listen, you will need a lot more people. More people in your life. That's what he's talking about. I believe that God was wanting that to be a part of our life. I want to share with you that I believe things could have been much different for the city of Jerusalem. And things could be much different for us today if we would just do one little thing. And I like the way this is explained. I really like the simplicity of the scripture, a mother hen protecting her young. Jesus Christ protecting us as a mother hen would her chicks. But listen to this from the book of Psalms 34, verses 8 to 10. Taste and see the Lord is good. Now listen. Blessed is the person who takes refuge in him. Blessed is the person that goes under his wings for a refuge place. Blessed is the person that when he says, come, we come to him and then we obey him. Blessed is the person who takes refuge in him. Fear is the Lord, you holy people who belong to him. Those who fear him are never in need. Young lions will go hungry. Many will starve. But those who seek the Lord's help have all good things they need. God's saying, you know what I want you to do? Once you understand, it's just tasting the Lord. How can we condemn him and refuse him if we've never tried? You know, when I was growing up as a kid, and I'm sure many of you can identify with this, often Mom would say, taste it, taste it. And sometimes there was an ad that was out said, taste it, you like it. Well, sometimes I tasted it and I did like it. But sometimes I tasted and I didn't like it. And we need to be reminded, I've seen this in my own life, as we get older, our taste buds seem to change a little bit. I like some things now that I didn't like when I was younger. Some things that I liked when I was younger, I don't like at this point of time. You know, God's trying to remind us that we need a taste of him. You know, folks, as kindly as I can say it, and as gently as I can say it, how do you know unless you taste God? You got to give God a chance in your life. You keep being what was called stiff-necked in the Bible, refusing to come to him. But why not humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and find out that he will exalt us in due season? We humbly pray and ask God for forgiveness. Ask this one Christ to come into our life. You know what I was thinking about just a few moments ago? In Bethlehem, there was no room for him, but he was born in a manger, a stable. In Jerusalem, there was never no room for him. But as I close this service and we get ready to listen to a song, you know, he said every stone will be torn down. But you know what? Jesus became the cornerstone of our lives. The cornerstone is a precious stone. And the stone that was rejected by these Israelite people became the cornerstone of the kingdom of God. And we'll be listening to that song, and it'll be a blessing in our life when we realize it's time to quit cheating ourselves. Say yes to Jesus. Allow him to gather you under his wings, that place of safety, that place of security, that place of comfort that he wants to give to each one of us. Because he has become the cornerstone of my life, and he wants to be the cornerstone of your life. God bless you.
When it's cloudy, it's hard to find a cheerful spot in the gloom. But the Savior died to overcome the darkness, and his radiance is filling up this room. He is my cornerstone in time of tribulation. He is the steady rock of ages in the land. He is an ever-present help in time of trouble. And upon the cornerstone I'm gonna stand. Lord of hosts, the everlasting Father, a wonderful counselor to me. In my battle, he's a strong and mighty warrior. But praise the Lord, he is my Prince of Peace. He is my cornerstone in time of tribulation.